In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
23 after 5 o'clock. Yes, let's talk movies. How about it? Alan Adams of The Main Edge is here for Pass the Popcorn. Brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue, Bangor. Well, they have a film for everybody in the family. Welcome, Alan.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm very good. Nice to have you with us this afternoon.
I know. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, you know, we did that vacation thing. Carrie's in Hawaii. I'm not working. Even if I'm not going anywhere, I can't. It makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's good to get, even just to, even if you're not going anywhere, just step away for a little while, just to kind of recharge the old batteries, as they say.
And it was good, but as I was telling Carrie earlier, I don't vacation that well.
Yeah.
A few days of it, I'm like, I need to get back on a routine.
Yeah, I got
a schedule.
Do things.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah, I get you.
And I don't work very hard, as anybody can plainly see, but I like having a place to go every day and a time schedule that I can stick to.
Sure.
Because otherwise, yeah, I'm on the couch eating bonbons.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, it's all well and good for a couple of days, and then the next thing you know, it's like you're drunk at 9:30 in the morning. It's like, how did I get here? Like, how did I arrive at this place?
Were you outside my house?
And say that's a work day. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Vacation, smaycation. My goodness. Well, it is time to talk some movies, and you got to see a couple last week, and one I've seen as well. Where do you want to begin?
Let's talk about Skyscraper.
Yes, yes. Which I believe I don't know what you're going to say about it, but my guess is that. Because it's The Rock, even if it's a terrible movie, he's wonderful in it.
Here's the thing. You probably have like a vague idea in your head of what kind of movie Skyscraper is.
Yes.
It is exactly that movie. 100%. It's basically like it's The Rock being The Rock. Like he plays a guy named Will Sawyer. He's a former, soldier / FBI rescue agent, who, due to a unfortunate accident in the line of duty, winds up losing a leg, and on the bright side, winds up marrying the naval surgeon who saves him, played by Neve Campbell. Who, you know?
Wow.
Hey, Neve Campbell, what's going on?
Wow, where you been for 20 years?
He's got a family, a couple of kids, and he's started this sort of security business. It's relatively small operation out of the garage, but thanks to the help of his old agency buddy Ben, played by Pablo Schreiber, who's best known as Pornstache from Orange Is the New Black, he gets a meeting with this tech billionaire who has constructed the largest building in the world. Some 3,500 feet high, like 1,000 feet taller than that crazy tower in Dubai, and basically three times the size of the Empire State Building. It's called the Pearl, and it is a completely self-contained technological wonder, with the bottom half being devoted to retail and office space, the top half being devoted to residential living, and with a gigantic park in the middle of it. These huge, ridiculous, they call them double helix turbines that somehow provide power in ways that was never made particularly clear. And, of course, it all runs, through computers, specifically a single tablet that is ultimately synced up with Mr. Sawyer, who has been hired to do a security evaluation, so that the building can be insured. I don't know how to break this to you, Rich, but it turns out that there are some people with some sinister motives involved in this situation, including there's betrayal, and there's a weird, like vaguely Eastern European gangster who has it out for the tech billionaire for reasons that are pretty ill-defined, but enough for him to really want to stick it to the guy, and there's this vast plot underway, and wouldn't you know it. The Rock gets locked out of the building, and his family Well, Rich, they're locked in. And so he has to get in and save his family, you know, at the expense of any and all else. And that pretty much sums it up. It's The Rock versus a building. Like, that's what this movie is.
I bet I know who wins.
Well, near as I could
give anything away.
Well, near as I could tell, they took his leg to make it a fair fight. Because you know, I have to say this. I mentioned on Twitter the colloquialism come to life at about 15 minutes into the movie. The Rock gets into an altercation in which his prosthetic leg is removed from his body, and so we literally have a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. Like, we get to watch that happen, and it's just
fantastic,
delightful. Look, this movie doesn't make any sense. Like, and there's a whole lot that goes on that just like plot holes you could drive a boat through, like all this kind of crazy stuff. But it's The Rock, and he's doing The Rock stuff, and so it's just like, oh, sure, yeah. He could jump that, make that 100-foot jump across, you know, the chasm into the window of the building, and he can, you know, he can fight off all these guys with his bare hands, despite the fact that they're armed to the teeth. You know, he can figure out how to, you know, bandage his wounds with duct tape. It's The Rock. Like, The Rock can do all those things. You know, there are other people in this movie. They don't matter. Doesn't matter who else is in this movie. It's the Rock fights a building, and again, story doesn't make a lot of sense. The decisions being made don't make a lot of sense. There's not a whole lot in the way of plot or characterization. But it's still a hell of a lot of fun. And doesn't that really kind of epitomize where we're at in the season as far as the cinema is concerned? It's basically the platonic ideal of the mid-July movie.
Perfect. There you go. And then the other movie, man, it's rare to have as much buzz about a documentary. But after seeing Won't You Be My Neighbor last week, not only do I get it, but I don't know that I've had an experience like that in a movie theater in years.
Oh, it's unbelievable, right? Like, it's one of those things where, you know, you forget, especially at this time of year when you're, you know, seeing all the, you know, the spandex and the CGI and the explosions and the gunfire and all that stuff. You forget how powerful the moving image can be. And basically that was an idea that Fred Rogers devoted his entire life to, was this notion that that television could be a legitimate force for good. You know, with the landscape of reality television every cable news channel, it's easy to forget that transformative power. And so to sit down and watch Won't You Be My Neighbor, which was directed by a gentleman by the name of Morgan Neville, who has a couple of projects going on Netflix right now. But it's basically this wonderful combination of archival footage and interviews with the people who knew Fred Rogers best. And it was just such a powerful movie-going experience.
Mm.
I think the big thing that becomes very clear very quickly is the fact that he actually was that guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, the no matter if people were talking about him in terms of working with him professionally, or, you know, his family, or his friends, anywhere on that spectrum, like, everyone, like, he was the same person in all of those respects. And that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why this movie has resonated with so many people, because we, as a culture, as a nation, we're so hungry for somebody to be as good as they appear to be.
Yeah. And that's why, and one of the things that I talk about in my review is the fact that we're living in a fairly divided time. But I think that we can all kind of, there are relatively few things that we all can agree on at this point. And I think one of them is the fact that Mr. Rogers is awesome.
Although, dude, I had forgotten until late in the movie that there was even blowback against Mr. Rogers late in his career. And wouldn't you know, It came from Fox News.
Oh, just the idea that that he's somehow done wrong by children by telling them that they're special and good is ludicrous. Like it was one of those things where it was just like, oh yeah, like you know, yeah, oh someone some a-hole wants to score some points. That's whatever. But I really was just so drawn to you know, the stories of like Joe Negri and like the, you know, Francois Clemens, the people who were on the show, like the idea that the wonderful sort of relationship they had with this man. Although and I think you and I think you'll agree with me on this, the highlight was Nick Tallow.
He was great.
He was the floor manager so he basically ran the tech side of things for the show basically for its entire run. And so like he had that sort of, he had an off camera relationship, and some of the stories he told, it was like, okay, so it's like Mr. Rogers was good and kind of a square, but he was by no means humorless.
No, had a great sense of humor.
You know, like, and just like that sense of those little hints of mischief that you would kind of hear. And that, and his stories were the ones that really kind of put that forward in a way that I don't think I expected as much. Because again, like it's Mr. Rogers. He comes in, he sings a song, puts a sweater on, puts on his sneakers, and you know, and does his thing. There's one story involving photographs and bottoms. I'm not going to go any farther than that, but it's pretty hilarious. So how many times you cry during this movie?
Oh, like, God, I've been not quite nonstop, but, and I just about thought I was done with it. And then, late in the film, the whole, Jeffrey Erlanger story, the young man in the wheelchair that Mr. Rogers invited on the show.
Yep. That was a big one. Oh. You know, and it's just like, and just the goosebumps you got during the moment during his testimony in front of Congress for in defense of public broadcasting, where he literally changed someone's mind by being a good dude.
Yeah.
Like, can you even fathom something like that happening?
Yeah, watching, it was John Pastore, the senator, I believe, from Rhode Island, who has pretty much had enough of funding PBS. And then Mr. Rogers spoke, and he just said, you got your $20
million. He's like, yeah, no, what am I going to do? Like, you're clearly right. And one of the big ones for me was the when they showed footage of Mr. Rogers meeting Coco the gorilla.
Oh my God! Yeah,
you know, just yeah. I mean, just like so many moments that were just so touching, and where you you know, you got a sense that there were some complication there. I think he sometimes maybe struggled a little bit with the way the world was evolving around him. But the basic like goodness, the basic devotion to the idea of making the lives of children better. Mm. That never went away. Like, that was unwavering. And to have someone so willing to devote so much time, so much energy, so much of their lives to such a noble cause, it's just, I mean, it was just so moving in so many ways. And I mean, the documentary is beautifully done. You know, they did a wonderful job in collecting a nice assortment of stories from the various people. They were very, very smart about the usage of archival footage, whether it was from the show itself or behind the scenes or what have you, just putting together something that was just, you know, it was, you know, beautifully structured, narratively compelling, and just like, just about a guy who had a legitimate impact on my life and the lives of literally millions of other people.
Yeah. If you can watch that movie and not be moved by it, you're dead inside.
Yeah, no, there's something fundamentally broken about you, and I'm very sorry.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I think they know at Focus Features, because we reached out to see about getting Morgan Neville, the director, on the show. They got right back to us and said, well, as you can imagine, his schedule is pretty crazy right now, but please reach out to us again during award season.
Yeah, no, that's legitimately, like, that's something that I think we're going to, see something unprecedented for me, the fact that I will have seen multiple Best Documentary Award nominees before the nominations come out. Because between this, between RBG, there are a couple of other ones that are coming down the pike. Like, it's, it seems like there's a bit of a renaissance for pop documentaries in a way that I think, frankly, like, we could use it. Like, the idea of being exposed to real life inspirational people, like, I think that's something that we all need right now.
Yeah, and kudos to Scott Warren, the people of Bangor Mall Cinemas, and the parent company as well for you believing enough in this movie to bring it here.
It's I'm so happy. I'm so happy that an effort is being made, and it is an effort. Like, please don't doubt that these people have to go to bat to program movies like this, because they're not the big flashy money makers. And you know, you could certainly make more money off another screening of whatever, you know, blockbuster is coming down the pike than you're going to make with one of these documentaries. And so they're doing a service to the movie going public in this area. And so if you have any interest at all, get out there and check it out, because the more we go, the more they can bring. And that's really what it boils down
to. And you'll be so glad you did. Alan Adams, The Main Edge. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
It's Past the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor.